Your attention is precious. Pulled in a million directions for a million different reasons. Blue Cross Blue Shield of South Carolina works hard to make sure your health insurance isn't one of the many things distracting you from what's important. By making healthcare easier to navigate, we help keep your focus on the moments that matter most. Like dinner with loved ones. Letting you focus on you. That's the benefit of Blue. Learn more at benefitofbluesc.com.
All right, welcome to My Greenville Home. It's your host here today, Dan Hamilton, with Hamilton & Company of Keller Williams Greenville Upstate. Thanks so much for joining us today as we talk real estate every weekend here, every Saturday, on your favorite local radio station. We bring you the latest news, the latest advice and information so you can make a smart real estate decision. We also want to connect our community, make sure that you're aware of all the great things that are happening here in the upstate of South Carolina and all the great things that are going on here, all the things that are making lots of people want to come here and join the fun that we're having here in the upstate. So thanks for joining us. If you want to connect with me, with our team, you want to learn more about what's happening from a real estate perspective, we are at danhamiltonrealestate.com, and that is the best place to connect with us there. Of course, you can call us at 864-527-7685, and that's a great place to connect with us there. Every week, our show is brought to you with sponsorship from Daryl Holland at the Holland Law Firm. He is our go-to real estate attorney, helps all of our almost all of our clients with the buying process. So when you get a home under contract, we get it to Daryl, and he does all the hard work behind the scenes to make sure that things happen on time and that you can get your property closed out. So connect with him at upstateclosings.com or give him a call at 864-467-0500. Well, like I said, every week we want to bring you, of course, the latest real estate information. Real estate alone is not all we talk about. We want to make sure that you're aware of all the great things that are happening throughout the upstate. And we call the show My Greenville Home, but we use that pretty loosely because we really we love the entire upstate. The upstate is made up of lots of different communities, lots of different neighborhoods, different municipalities. And one of the fastest growing, most dynamic communities is Malden. And if you are out and about at all, you hear lots of great things happening in Malden. And we thought it'd be a great opportunity to kind of bring you up to speed and have a local Malden expert. And so my friend Taft Matney is on. Taft and I have been friends for, goodness, way over 25 years. A long, long time, and Taft serves on city council in Malden. Was elected in 2013, so 10 years serving the city of Malden. In his spare time, he runs Taft TM Public Relations. 20-year anniversary on that this year too, right, Taft?
Thanks, Dan. I appreciate that. Yeah, we're really excited about that. It's a big milestone.
Yeah, I know. That's awesome. So Taft does a great job with his professional and public service. And so Taft, thanks for coming on today and bringing us up speed on Malden.
Thanks, Dan. And let me go ahead and point out it's actually closer to 30 years that we've been friends.
So well, something like that.
And in honor of our friendship, I think that it's also to note that even though this is radio, I came dressed today, complete with button-down shirt and blazer. Nobody can see it, but out of respect for you, I came to play.
You are looking very sharp. I wish our listeners could see that. But as usual, looking sharp, representing very well. So Taft, give us a little bit of background about you and what got you to the point where you have decided to help out the city of Malden by being on city council.
So by trade, I'm a PR flack and a political hack. And after living in the same town where I grew up, about 10 years ago, being frustrated with not being able to find somebody to run for council that had the same vision that I did. My wife, Addie, looked at me and said, you know what you want to do? Go ahead and do it. And I looked at her and asked, are you insane? And she said, seriously, just go ahead and run. And we did that first campaign and defeated an incumbent. And it's been a roller coaster ride ever since. And we've seen the city continue to explode. I wish I could take all of the credit for it, but we've got a tremendous team in place that understands Malden's position geographically and understands Malden's position as it relates to overall growth. And everybody is working together in lockstep to continue moving the city forward. And it's really an exciting time.
Yeah. So so it was 2013, right? You ran, you defeated an incumbent. We're going to take a break in a minute, but before we get into like all the great things happening in Malden, I think just like from a personal standpoint, like what has been your biggest, like when you ran and when you run for office, you kind of have these, you know, goals. What's been your biggest like accomplishment in terms of like what you thought would happen, and what's been your biggest struggle or disappointment?
The biggest accomplishment, I would say that it comes in three different areas, because I ran on a three-tiered platform. I ran on improving recreation. I ran on making sure that our public safety services continued to be top-notch, and I ran on a platform of expanding economic development. I looked at recreation at the time because my son, who is now a sophomore at Clemson, was playing sports on the same fields that I played on. And I wanted to make sure that we expanded offerings for families. And we did that. And I think that Malden has a recreation program that's second to none. And I would say the same thing about our facilities. From a public safety standpoint, professionally, I do a lot of work in the public safety space. So I deal a lot of with a lot of fire departments, and Malden Fire Department, Malden Police Department do an incredible job of keeping our people safe. So it was important for me to make sure that those individuals were taken care of, and that they also had the equipment that they need to keep them safe and our residents safe. The third piece was economic development, because I've looked at Malden as being perfectly situated geographically with our proximity to the inland port, with our access to 85, 385 rail system. Malden really is in a great spot for companies that want to relocate or expand or establish new operations. And I think that as we have seen the upstate continue to grow and to thrive, Malden has been able to play a big part of that because of who we are and where we are. So, you know, over the past several years, we've continued to expand jobs and lure new corporate entities into Malden because of where we are.
Yeah,
I think that those are the three things that I'm most proud of. As far as challenges, I think that it's what any elected official faces. You know, even knowing in my day job that government runs at the speed of government, which is frustrating, to actually be on the other side and be one of those elected officials being in that decision making capacity, it does frustrate me that things don't move as quickly as I would like for them to move. So I still have to temper my expectations and understand that things don't happen overnight, but we can put pieces in place, and that incrementalism doesn't have to be the enemy.
Yeah, that is so true. I mean, as a former elected official myself too, I mean, it can be frustrating. Like, I mean, you have ideas, you want to move them forward, but at the same time, you understand that that's kind of how the system is designed, right? So one party or one group can't just kind of push things through. So that working together, that collaboration, bringing people together is so important, whether it's a city council, county council, or the state level.
Absolutely.
We are having a chat with Taft Matney, city council member from Malden. And we got to take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll continue our conversation and just get an inside scoop of what's happening at the city of Malden, all around Malden, what's going on, so that you can be more informed and aware, especially if you live there. It's a great opportunity to just kind of find out what's happening. So thanks for joining us. We are going to take a quick break. I'm Dan Hamilton. You're listening to My Greenville Home. We'll be right back. We are back. You're listening to My Greenville Home. It's Dan Hamilton here with you today, and we are talking about Malden. So if you're just joining us, we have got Taft Matney, City Council member of Malden, a longtime friend, and he's given us a quick update. Taft, not only are you a City Council member, you are you Mayor Pro Tem? Did I read that correctly?
I am.
What does that mean to the
That means that when the mayor doesn't want to be on TV, I do it.
Oh, okay.
Now, the pro tem position is one that if the mayor is unavailable to perform specific duties, whether ceremonial or official, then I'm charged under our city ordinances with stepping in and being his representative.
It's like the vice mayor.
That's right.
Yeah, there you go. And is that elected by other city council members?
It is elected by the council.
Okay. How many members are there? Just out of curiosity for listeners out there, like how many members of city council are there? What is it made up of?
So in Malden, we have 6 members plus the mayor. Everybody has the same vote. The mayor appoints committees and committee chairs. And outside of that, we're all in the same boat. All of the seats are at large, which means that every council member and the mayor all serve the same 25,000 plus residents of the city of Malden.
Wow. Okay. I didn't realize that. So it's not a district. So you represent the entire city.
Yeah. It's not a district situation. And it's a nonpartisan situation.
Yeah.
Which I also appreciate because at the local level, let's face it, potholes don't know political parties. Yeah. And everybody that resides within the city limits is my friend and my neighbor, and I need to be able to serve each one of them equally.
Absolutely. I think that is such a, I mean, cities, like you said, I mean, it's, you know, how do we provide the best services and recruit the best jobs? That's nonpartisan. So it's good that still stays that way. Well, Taft, let's switch gears a little bit. Just give us a kind of an update on maybe even some projects. What's happening in Malden that is making a difference right now?
Well, one thing that I know will interest you because of your line of work, you know, we're looking at in Greenville County alone, the figure that's been thrown out is 250,000 people moving to Greenville County over the next 20 years. Mm-hmm. And they are coming in now. I mean, that growth has already started. In speaking with a member of the Home Builders Association about a year ago, I bragged that Malden is really moving forward in terms of creating new inventory, and that Malden has roughly 7,500 homes that are either planned, permitted, or under construction. And he all but patted me on the top of the head and said, you know, that's great, but that doesn't even touch the inventory that's going to be needed for all of the growth that we're about to experience. But I still feel very proud that Malden is moving in that direction, because with people coming in, they have to have a place to live, and we want them to come to Malden. So that's one of the things that I do want to point out just for you. In terms of some of the economic development projects, I know that you and I had talked offline very briefly, that people are extremely interested in the Bridgeway Station project that is currently under construction at Bridges Road and I-385. And for me, aside from the project itself, one of the most exciting parts of that is that the Bridges Road bridge that connects that goes across 385 has finally been resurfaced. We have been asking DOT for years to do something about that bridge because unfortunately, if you start at the law enforcement center downtown Greenville and go all the way down to Harrison Bridge Road and Fountain Inn, every interstate interchange has been improved except for that one. And while it still hasn't been improved, the new construction project that redecked that bridge from June 3rd until a Friday a week ago, now at least gives motorists a smooth ride so that they're not submitting insurance claims to the state for pop tires and bent rims. I've had people respond to me and say that that in itself has been life changing. However, we still need for that interchange to be redone because of the Bridgeway Station project. You're going to be looking at hundreds of millions of dollars in investment that's going into that project. It is a new town center development that is coming out of the ground at one time. So you're going to have shopping, dining, you're going to have retail, you're going to have entertainment, you're going to have residential above it all. There are already people who have moved into the apartment space above the retail and dining section. And then the retail, dining, entertainment should open September, October. And the thing is, that's just phase one. There are other phases planned for that area, so we need to be able to get people in and out, and I hope that DOT recognizes that. One important component for anybody in Greenville County right now, though, is the pedestrian bridge that is almost complete, and that will cross over 385 and empty into Bridgeway Station, and that is what that is an investment that the city of Malden has made so that we can connect the Swamp Rabbit Trail to southern Greenville County. As the Swamp Rabbit moves into Malden, this pedestrian bridge now will allow people to cross 385 without fear and be able to access that, so that hopefully the rest of the Golden Strip can then pick up the Swamp Rabbit and take it all the way down to the newly opened segment in Lawrence County. So we're really excited about that.
Yeah, that is that has been a very big. I mean, I hear a lot of buzz in the community about that opportunity of kind of just bringing that Swamp Rabbit Trail down that way. That's awesome. Any idea on Bridgeway Station, like when some of the major retail and restaurant kind of space, when does that start to open? Any idea?
My gut tells me you're going to be looking at the September, October timeframe.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's happening.
Right around the corner.
The upfits are occurring as you and I are talking today.
I hear people asking about the soccer Greenville Triumph. Is that still like in play at all, or is that off the table, or where does that stand?
I would say that it's currently in limbo. Greenville County Council just approved the first section of their 2-year budget. Okay. And with the numbers being smaller than they had initially anticipated, I think that there's going to be some work that needs to be done if Greenville County is going to be a participant in a multi-use stadium. The city of Malden has committed $4 million to the stadium project, and the state of South Carolina has also budgeted $4 million. It's in the most recent budget, and the land for the stadium itself has been donated. But there are other pieces that still need to fall into place for that stadium to happen. Now, I think it's important to note that it wouldn't just be for soccer. It is a multi-use stadium where essentially any sport that's played on a rectangular field could be there, which means we could bring in collegiate tournaments of various sports. It could be we could use it as an entertainment and a concert venue. There are all sorts of activities that could be programmed into that facility if and when we can get that built. And I actually liken it, if you've been to Truist Park in Atlanta at the new Battery facility, this would be a similar to that.
Yeah.
You can have the stadium project that then empties out into the dining, shopping, retail, new town center development.
Yeah, well, that we'll keep watching that. I know, as always with these kind of big projects, a lot of moving parts. If folks, as we wrap up here today, Tapna, I really appreciate you spending some time with us. I think it's helpful for listeners to get an inside view of government, especially at the local level. It's so important. If someone were to say, man, I love Malden, or maybe they're not even Malden, maybe they're another city, what would be some of the best ways for people to be involved in their local government?
If you want to learn more about the City of Malden, I would say first and foremost, go to cityofmalden.org and take a look at Malden's various departments. If you are a family that is looking for recreational opportunities, definitely check out the recreation department within the City of Malden. Again, our youth sports, our adult sports, our senior center programs, roughly 4,000 seniors come through the senior center every month. We have a number of parks that parents rave about. It really is a source of pride for the city, because that whole live, work, play is really important to have the work-life balance, and we're glad that we're able to do that. You know, we're also excited about the new Maverick Yards development that's going to be a part of our downtown master plan. It's only phase one, and, you know, as we talk about multiple phase ones, it's great because it means that we're taking the baby steps to get there. But I would say that people could find out about all of this from cityofmalden.org.
Go. We got another minute or so. So go a little in, more in depth on Maverick Yards. What is that?
So Maverick Yards is phase one, roughly, of our city center village development.
Okay.
It's was recently purchased 6.5 acres that the city owned, that's being developed by the Parker Group and Long Branch, that will have an entertainment venue that's roughly 20,000 square feet under roof, that will include 6 pickleball courts, beer garden, food hall, and multiple townhomes. So you'll still have that live, work, play option right there in that 6.5 acres. And it's just the first step in our downtown village.
Wow. Very cool. And you can see more about that at cityofmalden.org. They've broken ground and looks pretty cool. So Taft, thanks for joining us today, giving us a little insight. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Dan.
All right. That was Taft Matney, city council member from the City of Malden, and just giving us a quick update. As always, thanks for listening. We got to take a quick break, but we'll be right back with more for you today on My Greenville Homes.
I got the green light. I got a little fire. I'm going to turn this thing around. Can you read my...
All right, we're back. You're listening to My Greenville Home. It's Dan Hamilton here with you today and every Saturday, talking real estate, bringing you the latest news, information, advice to help you make a smart real estate decision. Of course, you can always connect with us on our website, danhamiltonrealestate.com. Best place to reach out to us if you have a real estate question, if you have a comment, or maybe even a suggestion about the show and a potential guest for us to interview. We always are trying to bring you folks that are doing great things in our community, whether they're like Taft and a public servant or entrepreneur, whatever it is. We would love to connect you with people in the community that are doing great things. And so feel free to jump on our website, danhamiltonrealestate.com. And I've gotten a couple suggestions in the past couple weeks, and we'll be reaching out. So stay in touch. We'd love to hear from you. And of course, if you have a question about real estate, you maybe have a need for either buying or selling, or maybe even just looking into it this year, or have a question about that. Again, that's a great place to go. I want to give a shout out to our sponsor, Daryl Holland, longtime sponsor of this show. We trust Daryl and his team. They do a great job when it comes to real estate law. So he's a lawyer that specializes in real estate. So if you have a closing, that means you send all the contract paperwork to him. They work with your lender to get all the documents the lender requires. They will also do what's called a title search. They make sure that you're going to have clear title of the property and there's no issues there. That's super important. It has to be done correctly. And there's certainly a process there. They do a great job with that. Plus, they write the title insurance, which means if there is an issue, if someone were to come back to you and say, hey, you know, I own a piece of that property, they will defend you in that instance. And title insurance is a great great thing. Most people don't think about it, but it's a one-time transaction. So when you close on your property, you should get a title insurance policy. You pay one time. You don't have to renew it every year. And you're for the life of the property that you own it, you're covered. So Daryl can explain that to you. They can also explain how you should take title to your property based on your particular situation, whether you're single, married, all those kinds of things. So check with Daryl. UpstateClosings.com is the best way to get with them, or give them a call, 864-467-0500. Well, if you are in a situation that you want to get your home sold quickly, and you may have, there's lots of different reasons for that. Maybe you've got a job starting somewhere else in another city. Maybe you have put a contract on another house, new construction, and you know, things are rolling along, and all of a sudden you're like, oh wow, we got to sell our house. I want to give you some tips today for getting your home sold quickly. And these are just some ideas that we have found over the course of 20 plus years being in real estate that are helpful and will help you get your home sold as quickly as possible. So number one is work with an experienced real estate agent. And that should go without saying, but especially right now where the market is definitely shifting. And I told another agent recently that it feels like, you know, buyers think it's 2009 where they can just get an absolute steal of a deal. And sellers still think it's 2021 where you're going to get, you know, multiple offers. People are going to pay over ask. And it's neither one of those is right. We're actually just back to a more balanced market. So I tell folks that really you need a great real estate agent that will help you get your property priced exactly where it needs to be. And a great real estate agent can help you do that, not only with pricing, but also with the marketing. We have the skills. Most people sell one or two homes in a year, maybe three, four, whereas a great real estate agent will sell that many in a month at least. Our team sells, you know, last year we sold 250 plus homes. So day in, day out, we see all the things that go into a transaction and can help you dodge some of those potholes out there. So number one, work with an experienced real estate agent. Number two, kind of goes along with what I was saying there, is price your home well. If you price too high, you're going to be out of the market. And so there's kind of a graph that I like to use that shows your pricing. And that if you price too high, you might be on the market, but you're not in the market. You're not even registering for people that are looking for your type of home. So you want to be priced in that sweet spot where you're going to get offers, you're going to get showings. We have some pretty good data to tell our clients based on the number of showings, based on the number of, you know, people that have been through your house, here's how many offers we should be getting. So you don't want to shoot too high. You also don't want to shoot, you know, way too low because they'll put up some question marks, from people. Why are you selling so low? So you've got to figure out the best price. We look at comps, of course. So we look at what's sold in the past 6 months. You really can't go back much further than that. You know, if you go back 2 years ago, the market was different. Interest rates were different. So you've got to look over the past few months. And then, of course, we're going to look at what you're competing with. So what's on the market right now, and how do we make sure that our home, your home, sells faster than those other ones? So we use a little strategy called just below pricing when it comes to, you know, what is the where we think the exact market value is going to be. We're going to price just a hair below that so that we're going to attract more buyers. They're going to be more interested in your property, going to want to make offers. So you're going to have hopefully more than one offer, generate a multiple offer scenario where you're going to drive that price up and over where it would be kind of on par. So that's a strategy that we have used very successfully. Not everyone that we talk to, you know, client-wise wants to do that, but we can show you from a data perspective how powerful that can be. So Pricing is so important. One of the most important decisions that you're going to make as you go onto the market is to make sure that you're priced correctly and strategically, not just priced correctly, but strategically, so that you're going to get the most eyeballs on your home and drive up those offers. So number three, we're talking about some tips to get your home sold quickly. Number three, help buyers visualize themselves in your space. So this goes back to kind of rule number one. You want to depersonalize, declutterize. So take your personal belongings, your spoon collection, your trophies, your family photos. You want to hide those away as much as possible because you don't want buyers to get distracted by all those things. You want them to kind of walk in and visualize themselves in your home, and that is going to help them want to make an offer. So go through your home, top to bottom. Cleaning is super important. Put away personal belongings, family photos before a showing especially. According to NAR, National Association of Realtors, staged homes spend 73% less time on the market. So you're going to speed up your time on the market, by a lot if you stage your home. And you're going to sell for more. So 85% of staged homes sold for 6 to 25% more than unstaged homes. So, we see very, very good return on investment when it comes to staging, and making sure that your home is positioned well in the marketplace. Number four, you want to enhance your curb appeal. First impressions are absolutely enormous. Buyers will make their decision on it if they're going to move forward in your home within seconds of walking in your front door. I mean, literally, you have seconds. So touch up that exterior paint, fix anything that's broken, make sure that as you're walking up to your house, that is, it's warm, it's inviting, and your lawn is clean and well-maintained. Those simple steps will help make sure that you leave a great first impression, because those are lasting impressions. The smell of your house, all of those things combined will determine if the buyer is going to move forward. We got to take a quick break. We're going to come back, finish this up, take your questions. You're listening to My Greenville Home. I'm Dan Hamilton. You can connect with us, danhamiltonrealestate.com. Give us a call, 864-527-7685. When we get back, we're going to finish some of these ideas and getting your home sold quickly in this market, which is very important because this interest rate situation is pretty volatile. So if you're on the market, you want to move quickly. But stick around. We'll finish this up. We'll be right back.
I'm on top of the world.
All right, we're back. It's Dan Hamilton with Hamilton & Company, Keller Williams, Greenville, Upstate. We're here today talking real estate. We're here every Saturday right here on your favorite local radio station. We also podcast this segment on our website, danhamiltonrealestate.com. You go there, hit subscribe, and you're off to the races. But every week we just bring you the latest news and information, advice, so you can make a smart real estate decision. So thanks for jumping on with us. If you have any questions for us, jump over to danhamiltonrealestate.com or give us a call, 864-527-7685. We're talking about six tips for selling your home quickly. There are lots of different reasons where someone might need to sell quickly. In fact, even if you aren't in a hurry to sell your home, one of the worst things you can do is be on the market for more time than you need to be. Number one, just it's inconvenient. It's no fun to be on the market, having people in your house, having to get it prepared for showings. Number two, after a certain period of time, and I can't tell you exactly what that is, but you start to see it, buyers are like, well, why is this home still on the market? So you've got to kind of find that sweet spot of getting your home sold pretty quickly. So even if you're not in a rush to move out of town or whatever, there are lots of reasons why you should sell your home as quickly as possible. So number one, we said work with a great real estate agent, one that's experienced in selling homes like yours. Number two, you're going to want to price well, price strategically. Number three, you're going to stage your home to make sure that buyers can visualize themselves in your home, and kind of look at your home through their lens. And you do that by making sure that you be personalized as much as possible. So moving on to number five, you're going to want to avoid large renovation projects. So don't, you know, go in there and spend a ton of money on revamping a kitchen, redoing all kinds of stuff. Focus on the small, more impactful items. There's a lot more bang for your buck in those. For instance, just going in and updating the knobs in the pool, the drawer pulls in your kitchen, the pulls for your cabinets, those kinds of things will give you a very, very high return on investment just by modernizing that look, that feel, versus, going in and trying to do a huge renovation. So when I go on listing appointments, I help my clients kind of focus on those small details that will make a difference, not having to spend a ton of money. So fix the leaking faucets, touch up paint. If you got carpet stains, get them taken care of. So focus on the simple improvements with a higher return on investment, and you'll sell your home much more quickly. Number six, last tip for making sure that you are selling quickly is figure out a way to kind of sweeten the deal a little bit. If you've been on the market a little bit, things aren't moving as quickly as you can, as they should, offer an incentive for a buyer. This is what the builders do. They do a great job at this, offering all kinds of incentives. So, here are some examples. Cover some closing costs for your buyer. And even better in this interest rate environment, offer a buy down. You can do a temporary buy down of their mortgage. So a temporary buy down would look like, if rates are 7%, you put a certain money down for them that they pay to their lender to buy down their rate for maybe 2 years, right? So maybe that helps them in a transition period while interest rates are high. A more permanent buy down is much more expensive. You're talking about $15,000-$20,000. But if you've got the, I would much rather see you do that. If you're going to reduce your price by $15,000-$20,000, do a buy down. That's going to work out better for the buyer as well. When they run the numbers, they're going to want to do that. So those are six things that you can do to get your home sold quickly. In this environment, it's a little bit different than it has been over the past couple of years. So you want to make sure that you're much more strategic, much more systematic in your approach to getting your home sold. That's what we can help you do at Hamilton & Company. If you're looking for getting your home sold this summer or this fall, we can kind of sit down, strategize, get you ready to go on the market. So as we wrap up today, I want to take your questions. We got some good ones today. Number one, Carol in Spartanburg says, what's the fastest way to up my credit score? So if you're looking to buy, one of the most important parts of the whole lending process is your FICO score. FICO and credit score sometimes are used interchangeably, but FICO is the most specific type of credit score related to purchase. It's made up of five factors, and I don't think they teach this in school, but it's one of the most important things that you can learn as a person coming out and getting ready to purchase a home or start a business, whatever it is. But for your FICO score is so important, and it's made up of five categories: your payment history, so have you paid things on time, the amount you owe, so how much do you owe to different people in terms of if you have $10,000 in credit available, how much of that are you using? That's a very important. Your length of credit history. So what's your oldest account out there? And then what's your average of all your accounts open? So be very careful about closing any accounts that are older, especially because that's going to you might see a big drop there. New credit. So how much new credit do you have right now? And then your credit mix. What types of credit, revolving or the other type. I'm drawing a blank, but like a auto loan, a home loan. So the mix of your credit. So what you'd want to do, Carol, is look at your credit score and figure out which one of those is causing you the most problem. So if it's the easiest fix, quickest way to raise your credit is a lot of times your utilization is higher than it should be. So if it's more than 30%, so for instance, if you have a $10,000 credit card and you've got more than $3,000 on it, that's reporting to the credit agencies, you are going to want to get that under 30%. So if you can get that down to well under, you know, just pay, if you can pay it off, even better. But to get it under 30% is going to be the best thing to do there. So that is what I would suggest, Carol, is look at your credit, you know, pull your credit, look at it, figure out which one of those is causing you the issue with your credit score, and then address that one. For most people, the quickest one to address is utilization. You can't really do much about past issues related to your payment. That's going to be, you know, if you have 30, 60 day lates, eventually those will drop off, but you can't do much in the short term about that. But talk to a lender as well, and they can give you some strategies on that. Adam has a question about the biggest piece of advice for a first-time home buyer. So Adam in Greenville's question is, what's your biggest piece of advice for first-time home buyers? Number one, Adam, great question, and I would say don't wait. If it's at all possible for you to purchase, don't put it off. And what I mean by that is don't wait until you have 20% down. Don't wait until you feel like it's the perfect time. Don't wait till you think the market's going to crash. What we have found is that the sooner you get into real estate, the sooner you buy, time is your friend when it comes to real estate. So get in there, get that first purchase done. You can get into most, if you've got good and solid credit, if you've got a job, you have income, you can get into a home for 3.5% down. In fact, there's still some programs out there, depending on where you are geographically, where you get down, where you can get in a home with zero down. You might have to adjust your wants in terms of, you know, what do you want in a house to do it sooner. So maybe, you know, if you were to wait till the perfect time, 2-3 years from now, you might find that that's a kind of a moving target, right? So you're waiting for that perfect house, but 3 years from now, it's going to be even more expensive. So I would say don't wait. That's the number one piece of advice. The earlier in your life that you can get your first home, the better, because what you're doing is you're building equity. You're building it in two ways. One, your value of your property is going to be going up. Especially here in the upstate, we're very blessed. We're fortunate to be in a very stable, steady, in increasing market. Even back in the what they call the Great Recession back in 2008, 9, and 10, we did not see the hurt that other markets saw. So we're in a great spot for long-term appreciation. So you're going to get some appreciation. You're going to be paying down that mortgage every month. You've got to live somewhere, so you're paying that down. Whether you're paying in rents or paying into your mortgage, if you're paying it in your mortgage, you're building that equity by paying your loan down and your value increasing. And so what you find is over 5-10 years, you've got that equity that you can take and you can roll it into another house. You could pull it out and buy an investment property. So great question, Adam. Thanks for that. As always, if you have a question for us, go to danhamiltonrealestate.com, submit a question to us there. Or give us a call, 864-527-7685. Thanks so much for listening to our show today. It's always a pleasure coming to you, talking real estate, bringing you advice, bringing you information. If I can ever help you in any way, if you've got a specific need, of course, danhamiltonrealestate.com is the place to connect with us, and we would love to do that. So don't forget to tune in next week right here in your favorite local radio station. You can also join us on the podcast that you can find on our website as well. So thanks so much for joining us. We will see you next week.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company. Like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like.
Rather than my skills.
I want to be judged by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder
just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, redballoon.work.